morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Better Lawns and Gardens. Wonderful day today. We're going to get a little bit of rain. We need it. There's a cold front coming through, and as always, when we get a cold front coming down from up north, it goes into a little bit of rain beforehand. So, Florida, we're going to talk about weather in just a minute. Good morning, Lizzie. I should say Lizzie O'Steele.
Yes, that's right. It's that time of month.
It is. In March, we're celebrating St. Patrick's Day. So we're going to be talking about fruits and vegetables today.
Oh, yay.
Did you have a good week?
I had an excellent week. The best. I spent the entire week out in the yard trying to play catch up and finish up. And oh, my cheese and crackers, the things that I planted.
I love it. I can't wait to hear about it. And so speaking of the weather, we're going to get a little bit of rain today later on this afternoon here in Central Florida. It's not going to come till after 2-3 o'clock or so in Central Florida. But Northwest Florida, you're getting the rain now, and it's going to be in the 70s and 50s this week. And so you want to catch up on that rainfall. We desperately need it. And that's going to be good. But next week in North Florida, you're going to be in the 40s. So we got another cold front coming through. Central Florida, we're going to have rain 3 to 4 days this week, 70s and 60s. That's wonderful weather, wonderful gardening weather. Get out there and you can dig in the dirt. The dirt's going to be, you know, easy to dig through, and it'll be good for your plants. South Florida, you're going to get rain 2 days, 3 days possibly. You're going to be in the 80s. So, again, excellent weather. You know, we got bike week going on all over the state and Daytona Beach. And so, you know, you want to be careful out there with the motorcyclists.
Yeah, look twice. They say that. It seems, you know, seems kind of silly, but really stop for a second. Look twice.
Yeah, and just don't speed. That's the main thing. Key West, your weather this week, you've got beautiful sunshine all week. No chance of rain, not until next weekend. So enjoy the beautiful weather here and all your gardening that you do down in Key West. That's going to be wonderful. I have a great event today. I'm going to be speaking at the Sweetwater Oak Garden Club Festival today at 1 o'clock. I'm going to be talking about butterfly gardening, one of my favorite themes, gardens to flutter by. And the Sweetwater Oak Garden Club Festival is today, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So you'll enjoy that. There's going to be lots of vendors, lots of great plants to get, and good opportunities to have a great time. It is at Protegrity Plaza, and that's 260 Wakiva Springs Road in Longwood. And come out and see me at 1 o'clock. I would love to meet you, and we can talk about butterfly plants, all kinds of great things.
When you said come out and see me, I flashed to the Country Bear Jamboree with the little bear that's swinging and goes, come out and see me sometime. I was like, go see Teresa.
That's great. So what needs to be done right now in your garden? And I just, driving around, visiting my clients, doing my work this week, I just noticed a lot of plants still have a lot of winter damage on them. Go ahead and cut the winter damage off. And it may not look like winter damage. It may look like a disease issue. It may look like they're burned. But it is just from the winter time and decline from the colder temperatures. We had some zaps of freezes. And so go ahead and cut those back. So what could be cut back right now? Your giant birds of paradise. Go ahead and trim those brown fronds off. Trim the ones that look like they're very wind damaged. It's been a very windy year so far. And so we've seen a little bit of wind damage. Go ahead and cut that back. Cut your ornamental grasses back. The fountain grasses, your miscanthus, your penicetums. And you go ahead and cut those back. Now, your liriope. Your liriope is the dark green and only gets to be about a foot tall for the giants, or it gets to be about 6 inches tall with the mondograss. You know, you don't need to cut those back. I would go ahead and dig them up and divide them up. If you've got plenty of them and they're looking a little bit like really thick, you can go ahead and divide them up. Up north, they cut them back down to the ground. You know, I just don't think we need to do it here in Florida.
Right.
Just cut off the yellow ones. You know, just cut them off, or like dig them up and then divide them and put them back in the ground. Bananas. You can go ahead and cut off the brown fronds on bananas. Your gingers and heliconias, cut them down to the ground. Let them come right back up again. We are in, you know, the middle of, you know, or we're in the middle of the gardening season for spring. So go ahead and you can cut those back. Lily of the Niles, you can divide those right now too as well. And then to refresh your garden, go ahead and mulch. Make sure you replace your mulch. You don't have to put 3 to 4 inches down, but you can put 1 to 2 inches down, make it look fresh again. Keep the sunlight out. That's what germinates weeds. So you want that mulch, your mulch to be 3 inches to 4 inches thick, no more. And then you want to check your irrigation systems to make sure they're all working correctly. Too late for pre-emergence. You don't need to be putting those out, but it's time to fertilize. So March is the month that we're celebrating St. Patrick's Day and cheering for the green. Your garden, you want it to be green. So today we're celebrating all the O fruits, like I said earlier, and the O vegetables. Coming up next is Dana Venrick. He's owner of Quality Green Specialist. He has quite a few varieties of olive trees. If you love cooking with olive oil, eating stuffed olives, tapenade, cream cheese with olives, pimento cheese with olives, or drinking the classic martini with olives.
Or a margarita with olives.
I've never tried that. I've got to do that. Stay tuned. There's more than one variety of olive tree that thrives in Florida. Dana Venrick's going to join us next from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Dana Venrick has a long history and career of educating homeowners, and he is excellent at the knowledge of what grows well here in Florida. And so we have him on this morning. He is sponsor of Better Lawns and Gardens. And good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. Good. How are you?
I am great. So this is March, and we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So it's all about the O's today, and I wanted to let everyone know how well olive trees do here in Florida. So what makes Florida a good climate for olive trees?
Oh, by the way, olive starts with an O, too.
But it does.
The climate is very similar to where they do best around the Mediterranean Sea and the Middle East, and they like the high pH, high calcium calcareous soils. And we can emulate that easily with dolomitic limestone and our high pH volcanic pumice with all the trace minerals that they love.
And that's it's easy to do that. And you have all those ingredients at Quality Green Specialist, right?
Yeah, and they really don't like much fertilizer. You know, they evolved in a very stressful, low mineral situation with high calcium and low minerals, except once in a while, like the sea would rise, you know, with the storms and the fish, and the seaweed would wash up, give a little energy, that boost for the blooming fruit that they have. And so we emulate that in the spring with a good application of a foliar spray, like with fish and seaweed and with amino acids. And then primarily I just put one application of the 8011 fertilizer once, like January or 1st of February. I've done that the last 3 years, and I've had olives 3 straight years on three arbutina planted in the neighborhood. In fact, they're full of bloom right now.
So speaking of the varieties of olives, you're mentioning the arbutina. How many varieties of olives do you have on at Quality Green Specialist?
I have 7 varieties. Okay, I'll give you the 4 that we've had blooming fruit the last couple of years. Arbutina, that's from Spain. The Chimlali from Tunisia. The Cortina, which is originated in Italy. And the Korniki, which originated in Greece. We also have Piquol from Spain, Manzanillo from Spain, and the Licino from Italy. They're all pretty good olives that do well here, but I haven't seen any bloom yet on the last 3.
And so they bloom later in the year?
They may, like, it's very, sometimes it's frustrating because olives tend to want to grow unless you stress them. That's why we only give granular fertilizer once early. And then you put them under stress, a little liquid fertilizer to keep them, you know, healthy. But you don't want to push the growth. If you get the nitrogen too high, they will never bloom or fruit.
Right, because it's growing leaves, right?
Say again?
So it's pushing out leaves because you're putting so much nitrogen down. And it's not concentrating
on
fruit.
Leaves instead of fruit. There's only one that blooms in the summer, though. It's Pequot. All the others will bloom earlier in the spring.
Okay, so should people expect olives their very first year with the varieties that bloom early?
No, not really. You know, there's the claim, you know, that maybe the Pequot will bloom, you know, and fruit in the first or second years, but I haven't seen that. I haven't seen any here. And so the ones that bloom early and fruit early in Florida that I've seen are Urbequina and Corniki. And the Cortina and the Chimlali.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do they have a lot of pest problems? Are they high maintenance with insects and disease?
Well, the only thing I've seen are the black scale. That's easy to control with a good spray, like of the horticultural oil spray. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, if it's, you know, a targeted infestation, we'll put some. A little bit stronger chemical, but that's only in a targeted situation. We like to use all natural organic.
Right. And so usually, though, when they get that disease, though, it's air circulation, or is it not in a really good location? Do they get it in full sun?
Generally, it's because, probably lack of circulation, lack of sun. General problems include, you know, like the olive knot, which is caused by bacteria, and the peacock spot, which is like small black spots.
Mm-hmm.
But those are easily controlled with copper. And in fact, every time you prune an olive tree, you should spray with copper. It's easy to control. So we luckily do not have those problems. At some point in Florida, we may, but we have a good control with copper.
Okay, excellent. And so do the trees, what sizes do you recommend planting?
Well, I recommend you start out like with a 3 gallons so that you get off to a good start. But some people even start smaller because they grow fast when they're smaller. And we have basically a size for everyone. We have them in gallon containers, 3 gallons, 7 gallons, 15 gallons. We have some beautiful 15 gallons full of bloom right now, and some 7 gallons full of bloom. And then we have several 30 gallons also. Somebody has to have a big one sometimes, you know, for a special situation.
Sure. And so the 15 gallons, that's easy enough to get in your car, isn't it?
Yes, we do that. We've even gotten into like a Volkswagen, a small Volkswagen before.
So this is also a great time of the year to be planting blueberries and blackberries and other fruits. So what do you have going on at Quality Green Specialist there? What can they get?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we have, you know, Spring High, which is a high bush blueberry. We have a good selection of those. We have, you know, some nice blackberries. We have all types of stone fruit like peaches, plums, nectarines. And then we have like mangoes and avocado. We have some beautiful 15-gallon blooming fantastic avocados that'll take down to 15 degrees, believe it or not.
Wow.
And some Brogdon that'll take down in the 20s. And people love them, you know. And we've already sold some of them. They're going fast.
Oh, that's good to hear. Well, and also not good to hear. We need to get to you right away. So you are you're also sponsoring a great event coming up, and that's the Florida Wildflower Festival in DeLand. So tell us when and what the festival is all about.
Oh, my gosh. You know, this started out as a small farm festival with Volusia County University of Florida Extension way back in 2006 when I was extension agent, the horticultural commercial horticulture agent there. And then, you know, people were so excited that it grew into the Volusia County Wildfire Festival. And I was the original chairman of the committee that ran it. And then it was sort of like adopted by the community, you might say, and became the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival. And so we've been at it many years. We have exciting speakers, including you at noon. I can't wait.
You're going to
talk about natural pest control.
Right. That'll be wonderful. And so what date is the Florida Wildflower Festival?
It's Saturday, March 23rd, 24th, course of this year, 9 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kick it off at 9 to tell how to use fertilizers properly. And a lot of times you don't need to use fertilizer. You want to make sure you only use what you need and only the type and the kinds of minerals you need. Otherwise, you could do more harm than good.
Right. And we've had a really big push on that from the universities and extensions, telling people that they don't need to fertilize as much as they think they do. And what should they do before they fertilize?
Well, they should really look for deficiency symptoms to see if they possibly need some mineral. You know, the tree will tell you it'll have interveinal chlorosis or small leaves or small fruit. And then if you have a lot of that, get a soil test, a complete soil test. And then you're not fertilizing in the bind. You know which fertilizer to use, what extra minerals you need, and you know what not to add too, because you don't want to add something that's already high in the soil, probably phosphorus. A lot of times is already high, and then you're causing a tie-up if you add a lot of phosphorus on top of it.
That's why I like the university's new soil test kit. And it actually, they not only tell you what your lawn or your garden needs, but they tell you exactly what product to use, and they provide that in the soil test results. It's excellent.
Absolutely. That's what I do, too. You know, we want to help, you know, make this a better planet, stop so much pollution of the watershed and the lakes. It is really, really sad to see the degradation of the water in the lakes and the springs and the estuaries.
So they can come right by Quality Green Specialists and get a soil test kit.
Absolutely.
Or yes. You do soil testing.
We do soil testing as well.
And how long does it take to get the results back?
About 2 weeks.
That's great. That's really good. So they can do that now, because I know people are starting to want to fertilize, especially their turf and things. And so they should
Absolutely.
Always get a soil test first. Well, that's great. So
absolutely. And less is always the wise thing. Small amount, like you're salting a steak. Less more often is a far, far better strategy than trying to correct all the deficiency at once. Take it easy.
That's very good information. And they should never fertilize before a rainstorm, right? That used to be an
exactly.
old habit.
If you're expecting a big flood, it's all going to be leached or a lot of it.
Washed away, yeah. And so, Dana, what is your website for Quality Green Specialist? And then the one, how can they find out more about the Florida Wildflower Festival?
Okay, it's qualitygreenspecialist.com. And go to Main Street, the land, and that will take you right to the wildflower site that you can click on that site. We have wonderful speakers, you know, like Steve Crump also is going to be speaking on modified hydroponic vegetable production. We have a monarch protection talk by Brittany Council Wharton of the University of Florida IFAS, Volusia County Extension. And, of course, your talk on natural pest control. Easy to grow wildflowers, Stacy Matrazzo, with the Florida Wildflower Foundation. That's going to be a great talk as well. And then Crafting Florida Friendly Landscape with Dr. Heather Kalaman. She's an Orange County IFAS Extension agent.
It's going to be a great lineup.
And going to be talking about invasive around the home. And Howard Jeffrey is going to be speaking. And other great events. We're having about 60 vendors with arts and crafts, seeds, plants, honey, garden.
That's great, Dana. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. It's time for you to have your gardening question answered. You can call 1-888-455-2967. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. A big thank you to our sponsor, Dana Venrick, with Quality Green Specialist Nursery. you have not been to his nursery, check out all of the wonderful olive trees and all of the fruit trees. He has wonderful stock, and you'll have fun going there, and they've got so much information. So thank you, Dana, for coming on this morning. That would be, I really do appreciate it. So I was just told this week that I have two spaces open on my 50 Shades of Green trip to Ireland, July 6th through July 14th. It's going to be 9 days, 7 nights, and we're going to go to the Ireland's west coast with 3 nights in Killarney. We're going to drive around the magical Ring of Kerry with its steep cliffs, and it drops dramatically to the pounding surf of the Atlantic Ocean. We're going to visit the magnificent Muckrow House and Gardens. We're going to tour the subtropical vision of Innocullen Garden, Lismore Castle, and Annis Groves. Waterford, we're going to go to Waterford and look at the gardens there. And then also to Kilmalkie Garden and the amazing Pantana Gardens. It is going to be an amazing trip. Come and join me on this unforgettable journey through the enchanted Emerald Isle and Ireland's incredibly glorious gardens. We're going to go see Ireland's oldest garden and their largest, tallest waterfall.
I'm very jealous, just so you know.
Okay.
Just so you know.
I'm going to pack you up in my bags.
And put me in your pocket.
Put me in my
book
and take you with me. All right, let's go to Phil in Apopka. Good morning, Phil. How can I help you?
Yes, I have a bad problem with it's turned white. I got these Chinese, I call them hitchhikers. They're black seeds, you know, they got white blooms.
Uh-huh.
How do I get rid of those things?
Okay, well, so those are called beggar ticks or Spanish bidens.
Spanish needles, yeah.
Spanish needles, yes. So one, you want to make sure that you don't let it go to flower because that's where you're getting the seeds from. So as soon as you see it start to grow, you immediately cut it down, and then you want to. You can use an herbicide. You can use 2,4-D dicamba. If it's in your grass, where is it in your landscape? Is it in the grass or is it in your garden beds?
It's in the grass, in the lawn.
Okay. You could go ahead and you can put down a 2,4-D. What kind of turf do you have?
I have Bahia.
Okay. Go ahead, 2,4-D dicamba. And then you want to make sure that you just keep mowing them down so that they do not go to flower. Okay?
Okay, they're already flowering.
I know. You need to get on it this weekend.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Phil. Thank you for the call. And, you know, beggar ticks are, you know, Florida wildflowers. And it's just Mother Nature. Those little stickers are just Mother Nature's way of, you know, dispersing the seed and getting them out there. And so, but they are a pain.
Oh, I can only imagine. I think Shrek works very late. We own a trucking business, so he works late. And so I was in charge of getting rid of the stinging needles plants. So because we laid our own sod and stuff. And so, you know, it happens every once in a while. You get a batch that's got little things in it that you didn't know. And so, yeah, so it was full of stinging needles. So I went around. I'm like, oh, I'm spraying this weed killer. I'm like, look at me. Oh, look, it's all brown. It's dead, blah, blah, blah. Well, when I was working yesterday in the yard, I walked over and was looking at it and trying to do touch-ups. And I said, man, I hope Shrek, my husband, doesn't come through here during the day because I think I just killed off all of her sod.
Oh, no. Oh, Lizzie, I'm so sorry.
Yes. So, will fertilizer help that?
I would just water it real well. The rains are going to help this week with it.
Okay,
because it'll leach a little bit of that chemical out. But then go ahead and fertilize.
I've got 2 50-pound bags of ryegrass.
Yeah, you can put that in there. Sure, that'll grow up.
I'll just keep him busy over the weekend so he doesn't see it during the day.
There you go. 1-888-455-2967 if you have a gardening question. We'd love to hear from you, no matter where you are in the state or out of the state. And then also, too, 23680 is our text line. And you go ahead and just text me your messages, and I will love to go ahead and answer your gardening questions. This is the month of March. You know, temperatures are going to be anywhere from in the low 80s through down to the 50s. Normally, we will see some colder temperatures next week in the 40s. Rainfall, looks like we're pretty good for rainfall this year, so keep it up, Mother Nature. And then spring arrives March 20th, okay? And then on March 10th, before that, though, daylight savings time is when you can adjust your irrigation sprinkler systems. The temperature's warming up. You may need to be moving up your irrigation to 2 times a week, but this is what I need to tell you, is that if you, your lawn, your landscape looks good on once a week watering, that's all you need to water. Just because the regulation says that you can up it to 2 times a week doesn't mean you need to do it. You can keep it at once a week and water it to 1 to 1.5 inches of water during each application once a week. That's all your grass needs, okay? Your landscape beds, that's all they need if you've got the right plant in the right place. Now, if you've got a plant that needs more than that, there's two reasons that it could be. One, it could be that it's so used to you overwatering it that it needs to have more water. It requires it, and you just have to wean it off of it, and it may look a little, you know, decline a little bit, wilt a little bit, but it will recover. Or two, it's in the wrong place. It's a plant that needs to be in moist soils, hydric soils, soils that are mesic, where you have good earthworms, a lot of organic material. If you've got sandy soils, you should find plants that can handle that sandy xeric conditions, okay? And we have all of those types of soils all over Florida. We have the sand. We have the organic soils that have a lot of muck in them or a lot of organic material in them. And then we have our hydric soils, which are close to lakefronts, shorelines of the rivers and little creeks that we have. And then also, too, we have our coastal areas. So, you know, it just depends on what kind of soil you have. But your plants should be able to get by with 1.5 inches of water a week, whether it's rainfall or irrigation, supplemental irrigation. You shouldn't have to overwater your plants or have a high water bill. Okay? What should you be planting right now? You should be planting beans and calabaza and cantaloupe, cassavas, chayotes and corn, cucumbers, dasheens, eggplants. I bought eggplants this week. Jerusalem artichokes, yakamas, and luffas and malangas. New Zealand spinach and all of the other oriental and Asian spinaches you could be planting right now. Okra, we're going to be talking about that today in our second hour. Peppers and pumpkins. How are your pumpkins doing?
They are sprouting. Thank you, dear Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. I'm too excited for you. Southern peas and squash, tamarillos and tomatoes. We've got tomatoes going right now. And then also watermelon. So there is a lot to plant right now. Lots of flowers you can get out there now. It's getting into spring. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens, and we're hearing on our text messages from Eric. And Eric, Lizzie, he wants to tell you that the, you know, the stinging nettles is good. It's a good medicinal plant. It's good for allergies and colds and other respiratory issues. And yes, a lot of our, you know, flowers and weeds and natives are good for medicinal purposes, but not where you want to walk.
That's great. Thanks, Eric. I'm picking on him because he's a listener who listens even during the week, and he's got some of the funniest texts whenever he sends it, and he puts us in our place or he just cracks jokes with us. So yeah, Eric, you are right. I didn't think about that. So
yeah,
that
must
be on my dog, my one female boxer. She's been going around biting it, and if that's what freaked me out and caught my attention that they were there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? But she's like the devil herself anyway, so she just must have.
Well, the devil's not going to have any colds or allergies.
No.
Respiratory issues. And then also too, and then we heard from Howie in Peterson's Nursery, and yes, good morning, Howie. And yes, the time change is next week, March 10th, and I will be speaking at Peterson's Nursery on March 9th.
I am so excited about that. But let me tell you what I did this week. I went down to Peterson's Nursery. And I mean, I like roses. Basically, for my mom, when she was alive, we'd always replace them because she really loved them. You know, and I've been to the box stores, and nothing against box stores, because Pearson's Nursery is one of our sponsors, I must say that. But, you know, it's pretty. Oh, it smells pretty at the box stores. You know, so I go down to Pearson's. I've seen them. I'm like, oh, they're going to be so beautiful. And then I walk in, and I meet Howie. Okay, Howie is a nut. All right, he is funny. And then I meet one of the other gentlemen working there. His name's Scott.
Mm-hmm, Scott. And, hi, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. And so I Karen wasn't there. I'm sorry, Karen, I missed you. But I'm walking through, and Scott goes, hey, smell this clip. And he hands me one. I'm like, what? They smell this good? He goes, here's a different smelling one. And he clipped it. I don't know what the name of it is. I'm so sorry, I forgot. But it's like purple, and it smelled like Fruit Loops. It was a rose.
It was a rose.
Yes. And I fell in love with roses on Thursday afternoon. I'm going to mark it on my calendar because of going down there to Pearson's Nursery and their love and their experience. And they were just walking you around and making sure that you knew what this is and that was and smell this. And I got to go back. I got a spot for two more.
There you go. That's wonderful. And it was funny because you asked him about fruit trees and mm-hmm. what did Howie tell you?
Oh, we need to get a hold of Dana up there in D-Land.
So mm-hmm. he told you to go to the quality green specialist.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yep, exactly.
That is so funny. Well, we'll be seeing everybody in Lakeland next week. So come out and see us. I'm doing a talk on garden myths, fact or fiction.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to swing by. I'll be there a little bit after your talk. But yeah, I'm going to swing by because I need two more roses. I know which ones I want, but I don't know if they're guaranteed to be there. But I'll take whatever they got.
There you go. All right. And so we also found, and I brought in one for you, some beautiful Choco Mocha Cosmos.
They're gorgeous.
They look gorgeous. They're black. They look like they're black, but they're deep, deep burgundy. I just took my breath away, so I had to get us one.
I thank you for that so much.
You're welcome. And this is a Mexican perennial, but it actually, with the heat and its fragrance, it smells like chocolate. And it is one of the rarest flowers in the world. It's been extinct in the wild for over 100 years, and it's called Choco Mocha. And oh my goodness, it is gorgeous. And I you know, I love the goth look. I love, you know, Halloween gardens and gardens that, you know, I love cemeteries, and I love that kind of supernatural. And when I see flowers that are black, it just takes my breath away. And so I really, really, Choco Mocha, look for it. You can get seeds from Burpees if you'd like to do that, but you can just look it up, Choco Mocha Cosmos. And they do well in full sun. They like it to be dry. They bloom in the spring and summer, and they will reseed. Okay, so Cosmos, just, I love them. So any color of Cosmos is good for a butterfly garden. Let's go to, I need to make this bigger. Glenn and Kissimmee. Good morning, Glenn. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I have a question. I have fire ants in my lawn, and I'd like to put down fire ant killer, but my neighbor has a cat that's always hangs around and is outside. It's really sweet. I don't want to harm her. Mm-hmm. Any suggestions?
Yes. Tell your neighbor that you are going to be putting down bait, and just for a couple of days to keep the cat inside or, you know, on their property. And just, you don't need to spray or to apply the fire ant bait everywhere, just around the outside of the colony, the little ant mounds. And that mm-hmm. way they can collect it. So I would just say, go ahead. Cats are really smart. I mean, animals are smart. They're not going to go over there and start eating it. It's not something that's going to attract them. Okay. But, you know, okay. just to let them know to keep the cat just inside for a day or so. Is it an outside cat?
Unfortunately, yeah. She's really always outside.
Okay. Well, just, yeah. You know, so the thing is when you put down bait, and that's what's the best thing to put down for fire ants, you need to kill mm-hmm. the queen, okay? And they will, you just sprinkle it around very lightly, follow the instructions as to how much, and sprinkle it around. They will take it down to the queen in the nest, in the colony there. And once they do that, then she's okay. She can come out. But it's just going to take overnight. I would just do it overnight, and don't do it before rain or anything like that. And just let the owner know. Just kind of watch her and keep an eye. Cats are smart. They're not going to go after it. You don't hear, you know, Florida, we use fire ant control fart, you know, baits all the time. And you don't hear of cats kicking over.
Okay, so you think perhaps the spa treatments rather than the ones they spread over the whole lawn would be better?
Yeah, you do not do, there's no reason to do your whole lawn. When you do the baits, you just do a right around the mound area. Do it very lightly so you don't so you don't really create like an avalanche inside the pounding and stuff. Because they will, if they get, spooked, they will take and they will move the queens and then you got more mounds coming up. So follow the instructions.
Read the, exactly.
So just read the label. Just spread it around the anthill. The cat's not going to go near the ants. You know what I'm saying? She's going to know better than that. And so just if you'll do it right before nighttime, and she's not going to be meandering around. Hopefully at night, and then by the next morning it should be good. Okay. And then when you go out there, look to see if it's been collected, and then you'll feel better about it once the ants take it down into the nest. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much. Thank
You're welcome, Phil. Thank you so Glenn. Thank you so much for calling. That's 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680.
So no, like, stomping around them?
Yeah, don't stomp around them because they kind of get panicked. They can feel all those tremors, you know? They can feel when the lawnmower's going over them and, you know, things like that. And if they get kind of scared, they will move the queen.
I thought we had a tremor yesterday. So I was digging the hole for the roses, and I put water, you know, to fill it up to make sure, you know, it's nice and wet in there. And I look away, and then I look back, and the water is shifting, like, side to side. And I'm going, did we just have an earthquake? And then I looked over at the other one, and I saw a big clump of the soil falling. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I was like, I didn't feel it, but okay. Then if I had to report it.
Like, nobody would know unless you told them,
that's right. Dadgummit, they're looking for Lizzie to say something.
Well, we've had some earthquakes over the past couple of months off the coast of Florida. So Sally Marshall, she called, or not she called, she asked a gardening question. She sent me a text through our Facebook page, which, Lizzie, they can go and like our Facebook page.
That's right.
We would love to have you, and just give us 5 stars. That would be incredible. And so she had a problem with something eating her Indian hawthorn, just chomping on it. And so she asked me about it. And so I told her what it was, but now she wants to know what she should do for him and what kind of one kind of chemical control can she use? The pesticide can she use for it? Because it's not deer. And so I responded back. So we're going to be back with more of that. If you missed any of today's show, you can go back and hear our podcast on betterlawns.com. And then also on iHeartRadio, you can hear the podcast there. And then I also post it on our Facebook page. So you don't need to miss it. You can hear it 24/7 wherever you hear podcasts. And we would love for you to do that. This is going to be a wonderful, we have coming up, Gene McAvoy. He is a retired University of Florida. He has given so much to the state of Florida. He is so knowledgeable, and he is coming up next so that we can continue with our O fruits and O vegetables. He's going to fill us in on that for the month of March, St. Patrick's Day, you know, wearing the green and gardening with the green. We're going to be doing that. So you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens if it's Saturday morning. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Save your calls for 8:30, and then we'll be taking calls from 8:30 on here on Better Lawns and Gardens.